May we pray. Loving God, we pray that you would guide and direct our thoughts, that you would speak to each of us as we need to hear today, to challenge us, to encourage us, to remind us that we are loved and that you love all of creation, and that you invite us to be agents of your kingdom. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we begin this this morning, it's kind of trying to think about the various aspects of the themes that we've got to look at today. And I wanted to begin by hopefully sharing something on the screen. That's what I'm hoping to do, which is I did something which many of you will be familiar with, which is I did a Google search, and I wanted to share it with you. And you'll see, I did a Google search, which was just simply Ascension Day. And I'm hoping that you can see this. You can see it a bit anyway. So the idea is that as you look at this and you kind of scroll along, there's just this definite sense of going into the clouds and of being Jesus kind of like going up. And there's that famous painting of like you have of different ones where you only see the feet of Jesus, for example. I mean, this isn't the funniest one, but that's a good example of one there where they're all looking up and the clouds part as Jesus goes in there. So there's all of these different ones. There's another one there. So that's him sort of waving bye. So we have all of these different images of what Ascension Day looks like. And that, I think, is obviously, I can see where that would come from our readings. But I also wonder whether we need to have a different perspective when we look at the Ascension and when we look about heaven and that type of thing as well. Because I think a lot of what we understand about heaven and earth, the Ascension and all of those different things, is probably as much informed by what others have told us rather than what we have discovered ourselves in Scripture. And I suppose when I look at the readings that we've had today, that Craig helpfully read for us, you get that sense that, oh, we're getting fresh revelation. We're having a fresh understanding of what we thought we knew, and it's just been expanded and expanded and expanded. And I think that is at the heart of so much of the Christian life. And the tragedy for me is that so many of us remain just kind of in a static space where we rely on what we understand of God from our childhood or from what other people have told us about God. And we are robbed of the opportunity of discovering the expansiveness of God and the kind of just the rolling waves of wonder that can come from a deeper encounter with God. And so I kind of want to encourage us all to kind of like dig deep. Now today, in this sermon, it's a sermon, therefore I cannot do a massive kind of Bible study on a whole bunch of stuff here. But I wanted to flag up some things that might intrigue and entice you to consider revisiting some of what you've always taken for granted. Where is heaven? Is it a physical space? Is it beyond the galaxies and the stars? You know, is that where it is? Or what is it? What is heaven? And I can't go into all of it right now, but I don't believe that it's a physical space far, far, far away from the earth, as it were. I think it is far closer than that. And I think that's where the challenge comes, because we see Jesus in the snippets we have here. He seems to be ascending. They look to the clouds. Where did he go? Did he get teleported up like billions of miles away, up, so that he could look down on all of creation? Or is it something different to that? What feeds our understanding that heaven is a physical space? And then within that, we then take another layer and think, so what is it we believe happens when we die? And is heaven the end point of our lives? And of course, it's not. But sometimes I think that our hymns that we sing and all of that, they unhelpfully keep us boxed in our understanding to quite a limited view, which is that we've got earth and we've got heaven, and there's not much between the two. That then impacts on how we live our lives now, in this present age. And this is incredibly important. Our understanding and image of God, our understanding and image of heaven and the purposes of God influence how we live today. And so my encouragement is, I have to be careful, I don't kind of go down a massive rabbit hole on a Sunday service and try and tell you all about understanding of heaven and all of that. But maybe it's something we need to spend more time on. But for me, I think you'll find, for me, it is far closer. Heaven is far closer than we think. So when God, at the beginning, created heaven and earth, they were created together. They were created in relationship to one another. And as we go through, we have this sense that earth is experiencing the consequences of sin and destructive forces that come with that. Violence, which of course is so readily on our television screens right now. And so we're so mindful of that as we remember the situation in the area that is covered by the Diocese of Jerusalem today. We are well reminded of the fact that we are a long way off the purposes of God. And then you've got to say, well, if it's not a, it's another space, another place where there is God's unmediated presence, where God's rule is perfectly known and done, where God's love is perfectly understood as well. The image that I have, probably not massively helpful, but it's the one that keeps coming back to me, is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I go back to that story a lot because I find it such a helpful kind of set of images to run with. But you have this idea that through the wardrobe, there is this kind of Narnia kingdom, and it coexists alongside the time-span continuum of Earth, but it also runs differently. And I suppose for me, when I think about these things, heaven sits alongside earth. And what we're about is trying to bring heaven to earth and to bring God's justice rule to earth today. And of course, we have the climax of God's redemptive arc in scriptures, in Revelation, where we have this idea of heaven and earth finally coming together in this new and wonderful way, which is the city of God descends, if you like, and God makes his dwelling on earth. And is this the idea, the imagery kind of is one thing, but the idea is that the two are brought finally together. And so the earth, there's a new heaven and a new earth that have become one, where there is now no longer any pain or suffering, where there's no longer any violence, where the earth is able to yield its abundance in season, and where there is peace and equity amongst all peoples. And so that is, for me, I'm trying to not go down the road of doing a further expansion on understanding of heaven, but I want you to perhaps think, hey, maybe what I understand of Christian tradition is not all that it was made up to be. See, there's a real danger if we just park our minds and our hearts at a particular point in time and rely on that to inform us and shape us going forward. I wanted to use an example of where, you know, biblical translations have improved a lot over the years. Why? Because they've discovered original manuscripts that have shed further light on what we have understood, and also errors that have now been picked up that hadn't been known before. And so these things provide us with an ongoing revelation in terms of Scripture, in terms of its context, and all of those things. Many people I know in the West End in particular, but other parts of Vancouver and elsewhere around the world, for example, have also had scripture badly translated. And it has been used in a way to beat people down and to keep them in boxes. And that again is a very big issue. For example, the English Bible, now I have to say it's not true of the Swedish or the German Bibles, but the English Bible translation, the English Standard Version that came out just around, well, 1946, I think, something around that period anyway, mistranslated one crucial word that became a nightmare for many in the West End of Vancouver, and that is the word homosexual was brought in for the first time. And the tragedy of that is that a student at the time at seminary wrote to the Bible Translating Committee and said, that word's, you've mistranslated that word, and entered into a correspondence with the chair of that committee, and actually the chair of the committee agreed. Okay. So my microphone's just gone off. can you see if Dale's around? Actually, that's a great point. Thank you.
It's great when there's better minds than me in action. So, so the word homosexual gets introduced for the first time in the English translation then, and it was a mistranslation. The chair of the committee agreed with that, but unfortunately the publisher said, you're not making any changes for 10 years. And during those 10 years, other Bible translations were brought out in the English language, and they didn't bother to translate that word. They just took what the English Standard Version said instead. So that becomes an issue. So I use that as an example where a mistranslation has then used by a whole bunch of people, and actually it was wrong. We have fresh revelation, even on the text. But we also have fresh experience of the Holy Spirit and that guidance. And we find all the way through Scripture and beyond, we find continually that the Spirit of God is challenging and expanding our understanding of God's love and purposes and how it is including of all peoples and, of course, for the whole of creation as well. So that, I think, is for me such a vital point. And I think that comes out in the passage from Acts. I think it comes out from Ephesians and in our gospel reading. Jesus expanding people's understanding of Scripture. So it's the same Scripture, but he provides a different narrative, a different perspective, which is so, so very important. Just having a different perspective changes everything. For example, if you think about the woman at the well that Jesus meets at the height of the day, I wonder how you hear it when she says, I have no husband, and Jesus says, you've had five husbands, and the guy you're with right now is not your husband. I wonder how you hear that. Do you hear that as a rebuke on the woman? I wonder. So if you do, if that's what you hear, maybe I could offer something else that balances that out a bit. What if I said to you that in that society at that time, it was the men who divorced the women? So five men divorced this woman. Does that change anything? I wonder. And of course, she becomes the first successful evangelist because her testimony brings many people to Jesus. So we might hear that as being a harsh rebuke, but in fact, maybe all is not as it seems. So we have all of that going on. And what do we have with this ascension business and about the kingdom of God? Well, of course, the disciples are seeing this as being an opportunity for, is this now the time when you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Even now, with all that has gone on in the life of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, and all the rest of it, still the disciples are wedded to this idea of political kingdom. A kingdom where there's going to be a king ruling in the conventional way that we understand, so that Israel can be like all the other kingdoms of the period, to take its position amongst all the nations, to be a strong country, harking back to the time of King David. So even though they've been with Jesus for all this time, and even though there's been the death and the resurrection of Jesus, even still, they still haven't got the expansiveness of God. And we know further that even with Pentecost, even with all of that, had Peter gotten hold of the expansiveness of God? No, he hadn't. If you look at Acts chapter 3, for example, Peter absolutely saw God's salvation within a Jewish kind of context where, you know, you had to be circumcised. If you came from a Gentile background, you needed to be circumcised and all the rest of it. By Acts 10, God has demonstrated to him that it's far more expansive than that. It is this ongoing revelation. And the journey of faith is an exciting one. And I suppose I want to, if any of us have become complacent about our faith, if any of us have kind of like given up on reading the Bible, given up on reading around the key things about it, or given up on community, faith community, coming together and discussing these things, these are the things that fuel and expand our understanding. And with that transformed understanding, so too we then act differently in the world. And the world is hungry for that fresh narrative. What does it look like to bring the kingdom of God here now? You know the answer to this. We've gone on about it a lot. It is about being agents of transformation. It is about helping the people who are oppressed, who are victims, who are marginalized, who the system is stacked against, those who are ignored, to help and support not just our people in Vancouver, but people around the world. Today, the Anglican Church invites people to make a donation towards the Diocese of Jerusalem and their hospital work, which particularly helps women and children. I have put the details of that on the Facebook group, and I'll put it on the mailing that goes out this next week. But that's an opportunity to make a difference somewhere else in the world and to help other people. We can do a little that makes a lot of difference elsewhere. I got vaccinated. I had my first vaccine shot this last week, and I can now move my arm. But I was grateful for that. But I also knew that I've had privilege. I've not had to pay for my vaccine. I've just been given it free here, paid for through taxes, of course. But you know what I'm saying. And so I have done like many of you have done already, which is I then went to the Primates Fund for World Development Relief and their Vaccine Equity Fund, and I have donated to that to ensure that there is equity around the world in access to vaccines. These are the small things that we can do that makes a big difference somewhere else. That is, for me, about loving your neighbor as yourself. That is about, doing the business of the kingdom of God today. There are many other wonderful examples. Another example in the church that we're engaging with right now, and might be relevant to some of you, but it's engaging with Metro Vancouver Alliance, for example. They have their annual meeting today. But again, they work with faith communities, trade unions, and other organizations to seek the common good. That's an agenda that I think St. Paul's can sign up to be part of that, to be part of a wider network of things that are making a difference where we are as well, across the city. They don't come with an agenda of what they're going to do. It's through relationship and discernment, they then identify priorities which they pursue. Sounds to me like a Kingdom of God activity. So these are the things that we can do. These are the things that we're invited into. Because we are invited not to be complacent in our faith. As Jesus returned to the Father, the promised Holy Spirit came. We will look forward to that at Pentecost. We're now in that season of waiting and waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Many of us are familiar with waiting and getting impatient with waiting until COVID restrictions might end and we can get back to something, the things that we enjoy doing. Of course, this speaks to that. We have an opportunity to pray for and support the work of the Diocese of Jerusalem. And the Diocese of Jerusalem covers a number of things. I actually just pulled something just from their website just to kind of remind us of this. The Diocese of Jerusalem covers 5 countries and is home to almost 30 parishes. Our healthcare and education ministries are active and growing across the region with provision of hospitals, clinics, rehabilitation centers, and schools. Alongside these ministries, the Diocesan Peace and Reconciliation Department continues to work at strengthening the interfaith dialogue with our fellow Jews and Muslims. Our Kids for Peace program, in turn, strives to educate the next generation in a language of tolerance and acceptance. Sounds to me like a Kingdom of God activity that we are invited into in this moment, to pray for the diocese, to seek its blessing, and through it, the blessing of all peoples in those different countries. At a time of enormous violence and striving that's going on in Gaza, in Israel, and all of that sort of stuff, is it not what our response can be is to support the work of organizations like the Diocese of Jerusalem as they seek to provide healthcare, as they seek to provide educational opportunities, as they seek to educate new generations to be more balanced and nuanced, to not get into, be familiar with reconciliation, and to get away from antagonism and sectarianism? Are these not the things of the Kingdom of God? And so this week, we are in this season called Thy Kingdom Come, an invitation for churches around the world of all different denominational stripes, whether it's Anglican, Episcopal, Roman Catholic, Baptist, non-denominational, whatever it might be. It is to join in a movement of prayer and love. We pray for 5 individuals who we want to know and experience the love of God for themselves in a new and fresh way, and also to pray for the advance of God's kingdom, which is felt as we kind of advance in our own relationship with God, as that fresh revelation inspires us and brings us hope, as we look forward to the filling of the Holy Spirit, enabling us through strength and courage and all the rest of it to have fresh insight. And I think about the waves upon waves upon waves of the history of this parish and indeed its future as we think about these things. Somebody had a vision in the 1960s for some solution to the housing crisis that we have right now. And it was to provide affordable housing for seniors. That led to the Pendrellis building being established. And we hope to see exciting developments there in the months and years to come. Somebody, somewhere, had the vision and capacity to develop the advocacy office. And I've been blessed by reading the emails that have come through. And I know that one person here is certainly an advocate volunteer who has made a demonstrable difference in the lives of others. And we've heard about that in several places this week. Lives transformed and hope kindled. Somebody, somewhere. I'm saying somebody somewhere. I know. You don't need to correct. I know who, but I don't. I'm just saying it by a literal device. Somebody somewhere had a fresh vision for how we might be a community that's particularly inclusive and would strive for the rights of those who identify in the LGBTQ2S communities. Somebody somewhere had a vision. Somebody somewhere had a vision of what the kingdom of God should look like and acted upon it. I believe we are in another season where somebody somewhere is going to be doing something that will make a kingdom activity difference in the lives of so many. Because that's what we are called to be and to do as the people of God here at St. Paul's. To become a church that is vibrant in its faith and relationship around God. That we become intergenerational. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we were intergenerational? I want to have the problem of having lots of kids. I want to have the problem of having teenagers. I think sometimes we've forgotten that they exist in our life. And we need to remember that we need to be a place that is invitational as well as outward looking. We need to be a place for all generations to feel welcome. All backgrounds welcome. All languages welcome. All ethnicities welcome. That we are a community both in our invitation and in our outreach, that we inhabit those kingdom qualities. And so we need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is it comes. Pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us individually and as a church community and indeed in the neighborhoods around us. And may we discern well what we're called to do and be in this season. to proclaim the kingdom of God in this day. Amen. Loving God, please share with each of us that fresh revelation that you have for us today. Entice us and engage with us and kind of encourage the flame in us that it might fan into something bigger and brighter. Help us to let go so we can embrace all that you have for us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.